Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to all of the people living out there in suburbia. Good morning to every Levitt town. Good morning to every supersize me. Good morning to every SUV and soccer mom. And yeah, there's a bumper sticker that says baby on board, right? Good morning to the people who tend the grass for the golfers. Good morning to the fishermen trying to fish for something in that great Dead Sea. It is March the 28th, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc. It's right after 11:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time here in the great state of Utah. And we're all trying to stay sane. Am I right? Am I right about not going crazy? Here's the first topic. And this is, you know, like so many topics for the Planetary Status Report these days. Another quote from Dr. Freckles. Twitter is the Truman Show. Well, that was at least brief. Brevity, right? The soul of wit. There was a movie that came out, I guess almost 25 years ago, about 25 years ago in the late 90s, called The Truman Show. I believe the year it came out was 1998, Bo Blimp Doc. That would make it about 25 years ago. I saw it in a theater. At the time, I was in the military, and I think I saw it at one of the theaters, at one of the malls in Lakewood near Fort Lewis. Now it's Lewis McChord. Am I right? The show is about a child that is born into a world that is, for all intents and purposes, 100% fake. There's nothing real about it. It's all fake. It's one giant commercial designed to sell stuff to people. The people watching the show know it's bullshit, but they're into it. They love it. It's a connection. It's like any other show. It's drama. The people acting in Truman's Little World know it's bullshit. And the person directing it, Christoph, clever, right? The person directing the show, you know, obviously knows it's bullshit. The only person in the show who at first doesn't know and slowly realizes it's bullshit is Truman. You know. When you think about social media, you could assume naively that it's simply an outgrowth of the last 20 years of mobile and computer technology. You could say, well, Dan, it's just a natural result of ubiquitous computing. Everybody's got a computer in their palm now. People want to stay connected. Why are you being such a Luddite? Major Ludd, shut up, dick. Don't ruin our party. But it didn't take me more than 5 minutes in 2012 to realize what Twitter was when I went on it for the first time. At the time, I was still married, barely, a year out from divorce, and I had more or less been told that, you know, Facebook was hers and Twitter could be mine. So it really wasn't a question of whether Twitter was better than Facebook. It was more of a fact that my ex-wife didn't want me on Facebook. And in retrospect, it makes me wonder why, but I also don't give a fuck. What I figured out very quickly is a lot of what was being posted on Twitter was bullshit. A lot of happy, shiny mind fuckery, not even remotely close to the truth. Now, of course, this makes Twitter not such a great experience for a person like me, and also means that if I tweet the wrong kinds of things, anything that disturbs the narrative, because Twitter is about building narratives, it is. There might be 1,000,000,000 narratives on Twitter at this point, but they're all constructed. And they exist for a reason. Some of them are trivial. Some of them are about selling you soap. Get my soap. It's made out of herbs and spices. It'll make you smell nice. Big corporate soap is poison. Buy my soap. Some of the narratives on Twitter are about soap, about herbal remedies, about shit that may or may not be real, but it doesn't matter. It's not that significant. It's very low stakes. And I think, you know, that's also what Twitter wants, is a lot of low stakes bullshit. Some of it's not low stakes. Some of it's people talking about how they're, you know, they just got paralyzed. And here's a picture of me in a wheelchair. Send me money. That's not really low stakes. And potentially, unless you can verify that person is real, that's you being ripped off. But what I will say is that in addition to the bullshit, what also I found interesting was the consistency. The idea that these narratives were meant to have a purpose. It wasn't random people talking to random people. It was a bunch of selected people. And when I say selected, some tweets get promoted, some tweets get buried. Some tweets really do get buried. They essentially get deleted for all practical purposes. That, again, is about building this interwoven narrative, this complete picture of reality. If you were an American in 2023, or better yet, let's go back to March of 2020. If you were an American in March of 2020, you would have thought the world was coming to an end. If, and this is critical, if your only source of information was Twitter. It didn't matter if your version of it was the Chinese are trying to kill us with a bioweapon Twitter, or if it's somebody went to the wet market and ate the wrong, you know, pangolin Twitter, it's fucking irrelevant. If you were on Twitter in 2020, the system was trying to scare the fuck out of you, and Twitter and Facebook and every form of social media was doing its job to scare the fuck out of you. But does that mean if you put down your fucking phone and walked outside that the world was coming to an end? And the answer is no. Some simple observations from Chinatown in 2020 that I've mentioned before. The construction increased. The number of people driving around all fucking day, well, it kind of stayed steady. It didn't really look like much of a pandemic, though. And when it came to the commies protesting, it apparently didn't matter that they were blocking traffic to emergency rooms in the summer of 2020. It was irrelevant. So if you were processing reality through Twitter in the last 3 years, your version of reality, in my opinion, is probably pretty fucked up. It probably is. I'm not saying there's a better version. As I've said pretty consistently for a year now, all news, real news, news you can trust, is local shit that you can verify with your own eyes and ears and nose and fingers and whatnot. That's it. That's the news now. You know, what's the price of diesel? How much you paying for a dozen eggs? Everything else is garbage, and Twitter is this kind of constructed, which I've also called a Potemkin village. It is a constructed Potemkin village. It is a make-believe world, and so is Facebook. And at this point, you could argue much of what we call the internet, a lot of fake bullshit. Anywho, you can nibble on that. I'm going to go to the next topic. Next topic, bros and hoes. So I've got a little bit of a headache, and I'm going to have to ask your patience, ask for your patience with me. I've got a little bit of a headache. I'm kind of in a weird place psychologically. My left arm is getting better, good news. But I gotta say, overall, you know, I'm not in such a great place mentally. That's okay, it's life. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. And then we're going to talk in depth about this because there's a little bit of an essay, a short essay on my blog. And here's the quote. Tolerance of others is not the same as promoting sin, Dr. Freckles. Now let me read my short essay and then we'll talk about it. A free society is likely, over time, to become a more tolerant society. This doesn't mean people give up their principles. It simply means we hold a common principle, non-aggression, and its corollary, self-defense. Arguably, only a free society can achieve true tolerance as a virtue, because in order to survive in such an arrangement, you must be a diplomat and a practitioner of basic human decency. But then there's what's going on in our pillhead neo-Stalinist hellhole today, aka the USA. It's not about tolerance and peace, it's about acceptance and proliferation. Here now, the USA, we have an apparatus of information that is promoting sin as a form of tolerance. Let me explain. I'm fat. I'm overweight. And I'll tell you something about being fat. It requires no shaming. Being overweight, being fat, shames itself. You don't need to spend any time shaming people. You don't have to post these really scary pictures on Facebook that maybe represent some percent of the population, but don't represent a lot of us who are simply 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight, which is not good. But again, the fat shames itself. I don't require anybody to tell me I'm fat any more than I need someone to say it's okay that I'm fat. It's not okay. I need to lose the weight. I'm at the point in my life where these 20, 30, 40 pounds could be the difference between 10 or 15 years. Now, how I value my life right now versus 10 years from now is also part of the formula I don't want to get into. But the point is, I don't want people or need people to shame me. Being overweight is self-shaming. I also don't need people to tell me it's okay, because gluttony is actually not okay. Okay? The obesity issue does not require public shaming. The obesity issue does not require promotion. But promotion is what we're getting in this debate, in this discussion. Now you go to a store to buy clothes and you see a lot of fat models showing off this year's fashion. Great. But is that really what people want to see? Even fat people want to see. I don't know. I have more to say about this later, but this is what I will say. We are definitely in the zone of promoting the overweight lifestyle as good, normal, acceptable, even enviable. This applies to sexuality as well, in all its forms. We should tolerate different perspectives regarding sexuality, while at the same time fostering a powerful idea for a free society. You know, keep your dirty deeds to yourself. I think that's a good rule of thumb. Have sex with grizzly bears. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't want to see it. If I go to a store to buy porno, fine. I'm making a choice. But if I'm simply walking around my neighborhood, and if you parade your junk in my fucking face, that's more like an act of aggression. And it's not micro. And yet our society is currently promoting the explicit and public exclamation of all kinds of sexual perversion, even pedophilia, and they're treating it like it's a value, like it's an actual moral principle to promote it in public. This isn't going to end well. It isn't going to end in tolerance. It will end in violence. And as far as, you know, pedophilia goes, and rape and other forms of immoral, involuntary sexual practices, in a free society, it is kind of simple. Fuck around, find out. Way more likely to achieve the net-net justice effect than our current justice system. I'm going to stop right there and simply summarize the rest, because this was written freestyle, and I think in some ways it could be rewritten a few more times. But here's the key point, and then we'll move on to the next topic. Something has gone wrong in our society with respect to this issue of sin. I don't want to get into the culture debate because I think that's a lot of political bullshit and frankly a limited hangout. This idea that conservatives are for principles and liberals are not is one of the oldest, ridiculous canards out there, and it does not match reality. The fact is, on the Death Star, in the United States of America, in the city of Rome, pretty much all of us, we're sinning 24/7. Every time we use a credit card, every time we participate in this crooked economic system, even marginally, and if you're some Bitcoin freak and you're buying your servers and your video cards and whatnot, you're participating on the Death Star too. You may think it's derivative, but you're still there. Something happened in my lifetime, maybe in the last 100 years, where this country went from ostensibly, which we also know is also false, ostensibly being a tolerant society to being a society that promotes sin as a value. And it's hard to understand the purpose behind it unless you see it in terms of eschatology, unless you say to yourself, this is how we ended up here. Listen, folks, like I said, I'm fat, I'm overweight. Since the injury, I've gained more weight. Do I have plans to lose it? Yeah. Do I ever expect to be at my army weight again for the rest of my life? No. Does that trouble me? Not at all. Would I like to lose about 50 pounds? Absolutely. Would I like to lose 60 or 70 pounds? No, shithead. I was smoking cigarettes. Yeah, I was running 2 miles in 11 minutes. I was also smoking cigarettes to stay my good army weight. So I don't need to be 190. But the fact is, I'm overweight. I don't need somebody to make fun of me. I also don't need anybody to tell me it's okay. How the fuck did we end up at that? I have my own perspectives on this. You know, I kind of think that the obesity epidemic, for the most part, is more about the Norman Borlaug Green Revolution lifestyle. You could also call it the nutrient famine. Yeah, I'll call the nutrient famine. The fact that we have all this really cheap food that's mostly a delivery device for sugar and sodium, but in terms of the nutrients that used to be in the food, where the fuck is that gone? Why the fuck do you need to take this bee pollen extract that Alex Jones is selling? Why the fuck do you have to go to the hospital to get a vitamin injection? It used to be the case that our food delivered everything we needed. So when we think about a famine, understand this. The nutrient famine in terms of food that isn't going to give you cancer or diabetes started about 50 fucking years ago. And in my opinion, obesity might be one of the results of that, along with diabetes and cancer and other disorders. I think obesity is probably an autoimmune disorder. It is the body's attempt at trapping poison, because along with the reduction in nutritional value of a lot of this shitty food has been an increase in poison and toxins and other kinds of shit. And here's the deal. You know, here's your quick and dirty on carbon. Carbon is a wonderful, wonderful element. It actually, you know, in the right type of structure, can operate as a toxin sink. Fat is composed of carbon, and fat in its form can operate as a toxin sink. It will store toxins. If your body has any reason to believe that you're being flooded with poison, why wouldn't it trigger that response to add a few more pounds? I don't claim it to be the main cause of this problem, but I do think it's one of the factors. It's also probably one of the factors why it's so hard to lose the weight, because your body is signaling to you that when you lose that shit, a lot of very terrible shit is going to enter the bloodstream again. Oh, sorry, I didn't tell you that. Go lose 20, 30 pounds and, yeah, experience 20 or 30 years on Boblimpdoc. Re-experience. So I have my own nuanced view of obesity, but does that mean we should promote it? Does that mean we should think of it as something that's good? No. Does that mean we should spend time making fun of people? No. In a legitimately free society, assholes can go about their business and they don't need to spend any time mocking other assholes for their imperfections. But that's just me. I'm kind of crazy. And I don't want to spend any more time on that. I just think it's interesting the way that the discourse has shifted to promotion in terms of sin, not just tolerance of other people, but promoting really bad behaviors. And I do think part of it is this sort of wounded on the battlefield phenomena. You know, more people spiritually wounded by the discourse, by the conversation. It creates anger, it creates sadness, but it does not create an opportunity for any type of solution. So you know what? There's lots of really good mind control reasons for promoting sin, especially in a society that is purportedly a Christian society, which, again, I gotta tell you, these days I have a hard time seeing it. And that might have been true for a long time. Next topic. think I boloed that one. I probably shouldn't have read as much of that and just talked about it. I don't know. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. COVID-19 was a lie. Masquerading as the truth. Climate change hides the truth, pretending to be a falsehood. Now, what do I mean by that? First and foremost, to get to this really false dichotomy between Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives, because it is absurdly ridiculous, this dichotomy. A lot of people in the conservative world equate an awareness of the ecosystem and the environment as a sign that you're some kind of liberal. This isn't all conservatives, but a lot of fucking people who call themselves conservative also follow what I call the generalized dumpster theory of the environment, which is, you know, God created the world, God created people to rule the world. If we want to treat the world like a giant dumpster, it's no big deal. And I consider that to be flawed on many levels, but especially as a Christian, because there was this place where the consequences were nil, and where everything was wonderful, and it was called Eden. And we had our asses kicked out of Eden a long fucking time ago. So people who go around saying that the earth is a dumpster and we can poop and pee and poison without consequence, I don't think they really understand their Bible, but that's, you know, just my opinion. You think about COVID-19, okay? Think about the actual evidence you could verify yourself. And again, real plagues, real epidemics have evidence that ordinary people can evaluate. Systems break down during real plagues and real epidemics. Nurses don't generally dance during real plagues and epidemics, okay? There are things you can actually detect without any help from a scientist or a journalist, quote unquote, on your own. Think about how quickly so many Americans bought into the COVID-19 in 2020. And then think about that horrendous bullshit that I saw once again this morning walking the dogs, that shit in the sky. They love to gaslight you and call it contrails. But for the life of me, this shit has gotten worse and worse and worse in the last 10 to 15 years. And in the last few years, it's been obnoxious. The years I spent in Seattle, I couldn't remember a clear fucking day. If it was a clear day, it was some kind of hazy, just brown and black and gray with a little bit of blue nonsense. But there were no blue skies like when I was a kid. And as far as what they're doing in the sky, I have no idea what it is, but I can see it with my own fucking eyes. Think about the bullshit that people could not verify in any way, shape, or form except via Twitter or Facebook or NPR or some type of CNN or Fox News. And then think about the shit you can see with your own fucking eyes. You know, I walked the shoreline of the Puget Sound when I was a kid. It was a rainbow of life. You walk the shoreline of the Puget Sound now, and yeah, it's not completely dead yet, but it looks to be heading that way. When I was a kid, you could stand in Skagit Valley and see the Cascades and the Olympics at the same time. I don't think you can do that any longer. But what was also very interesting is pretty much year-round, they were covered with snow and ice. Isn't that interesting? That's not true any longer. That's not shit that requires you to believe some scientist on TV. That is shit you can observe with your own fucking eyes. Okay? So I don't know what the truth is. I'm pretty certain the climate change, global warming nonsense is a narrative that you should discard. But what I believe is true, and I cannot prove it yet, and perhaps next year I turn myself into the insane asylum if I'm wrong, but what I believe to be true is that our government and other governments are lying about an ecological catastrophe. And they've probably been doing it my whole life in at least the last 50 or 60 years. And this catastrophe has zero to do with fucking cheeseburgers, zero to do with your SUV, zero to do with who owns the oil or who has nuclear reactors. It might very well be a thing that was always going to happen. Kind of like an unexploded mine, okay, in Vietnam. It's sad, it's horrible, but some random person walks down a trail and yeah, they lose a leg. It's not great that it happened, but it was probably always going to happen. And that's what I think could be the worst case scenario. I don't really want to say more about it. But when I see these freaks like, oh my God, Al Gore or Greta Thunberg, and then there's this new freak I saw, I say to myself, clearly these are fools. Clearly their purpose is to take something that might be serious and make it look like a fucking joke. Just about every person that comes out as a spokesperson for the environment looks like a hypocritical joke. It isn't that difficult to figure out that they go to the next environmental conference in their private jet, dirtbag. So if anybody has been fooled by this, again, you know, that's another type of disorder. But the real purpose of these freaks is to make it look like a fucking joke. To make it look silly and ridiculous and absurd. To see these obscenely freaking, you know, opinionated, holier-than-thou actors and actresses going around the world telling you, don't do this and don't do that, on their yachts. I mean, yeah, it's absurd, it's stupid, it's ridiculous. But does that mean, under the surface, something's not going on? And I would contend that I have more personal experience for that than I do for the COVID-19. Way more. Way more valid, historically based experiences that I can associate than anything to do with your crooked fucking pandemic. So I don't know that I'm right. I simply think it's funny. COVID-19 was an obvious fucking lie masquerading as a truth, and people immediately accepted it. But you can see that obscenity, that bullshit in the sky just about every fucking morning, and most of you are staring at your glowing fucking rectangle. What did Dr. Freckles say? COVID-19 is a lie masquerading as the truth. Climate change hides a truth, pretending to be a falsehood. Next topic, because shit, I am already pissing people off. Fuck. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Yay. Surgery is managed and purposeful trauma, Dr. Freckles. What does that mean? Well, I was thinking about my surgery a few months ago and what they had to do. And again, these are great people, very professional. I was really lucky. But they had to cut through the back of my left arm, cut down deep to the bone, separate that flesh, that muscle and tissue. They had to bridge the two pieces of my humerus together, and then they had to use screws and other metal objects to kind of form a hard, very sturdy bridge that would allow my bone to heal. And these things, if done under anesthesia by professionals, you know, they're necessary medical procedures. But if some random Nazi doctor is doing it without anesthesia at a concentration camp, a motherfucker could accuse them of torture. And the thing is, a surgeon doing their job like they did, well, that's just cutting into the body. That's just an incision. But some random mook with a dirty, rusty fish gutting knife cutting into your body, that's called trauma. Yeah, I don't know. You think about what a surgeon has to do, and it's an insult to the body that is necessary. They have to do their thing. Sometimes they're cutting something out. Sometimes they're trying to, you know, heal a wound by sewing something back up again. But in either case, they're going into your body cavity with their hands, and under anesthesia, yeah, it protects you from that. But still, that's a fucking traumatic thing. It's purposeful. It is managed. It is precise, one hopes, but it's still a kind of constructive trauma. And then think about things like aesthetic surgery. Or, you know, sexual reassignment surgery. It's a lot of trauma. Anyways, it's something to think about. If you have a surgery that is optional, my advice is don't get it. But then again, a lot of people, I want to get this thing removed, then get it removed. I don't care. Next topic. So, you know, I've had health issues in the last year that have been weird. Weird in the sense that there's nothing wrong. My blood sugar's good. My cholesterol's good. My blood pressure's a little bit on the high side, but I don't know that I fucking care. My doctor said, the doctor told me that my herpes cleared up. The doctor said my herpes and my syphilis and my weird Vietnamese butt crabs are all doing great. But there were deeper problems from my last visit, and a strange healthcare adventure was afoot. My doctor recommended I drink Drano and huff paint fumes and spend time at the dry cleaners. I shoved an ostrich egg up my butt and then performed a complete enema using isopropyl alcohol and red pepper and A1 sauce. It was brutal. I spent several hours cutting away the meniscus from my tretic zone and then draining my foob orbs into the bottles my doctor gave me. And then they you know, did the day surgery on my anus. And now my herpes is fine. It's all cleared up after the surgery on my butthole. The doctor said I should eat more vegetables, drink clean water, and maybe consume some kind of free-range beef they have in Wyoming. He said I needed to buy fluoride tablets because my levels were low, and he recommended a draining of my clevic zone and some minor brain surgery. He has this new drug. It's called Hodorol, and it helps you, you know, when you get sad about stuff. You drop an H and you can do anything. Nobody can stop you. You have the self-confidence of Ted Bundy on Hodorol. You won't ask questions about the dead hookers behind the bar. You'll just drink your drink and have a good old time. Huh, that's how my, you know, my cholesterol goes down. My primary care physician, Dr. Grunkus, he's recommended a total refurbishing. He runs a clinic in Little Saigon, Seattle, at around midnight on Thursdays in an alley. He does his work in this nasty old alley where the rats stand watch as sentinels between eating some Japanese emo twinks. He has modeling knives and vodka and fishing line and a needle, and he gets it done. He knocks you out with a lead pipe and you just sit there concussed as he cuts into your belly and pulls out all your insides and replaces it with metal shavings and sawdust and broken glass and sand. I'm trying to get my rebus zone irrigated, but my butt doctor, Dr. Mavis, refuses to jam rebar up there. But you have to if you want to get well. I keep trying to gouge that out. Gouge out that monstrous thing. It's stuck way up there. It's cutting into me, but nothing works. Dr. Mavis tried a hamster. Now the hamster's stuck up there now, biting and chewing. What's next? Some weird drill. And it got me bloody and sore and messed up. But that won't work. We'll try X-ray beam surgery, shooting me up with 13,000 rads of power, growing my testicles with tumors, and that way I'm ready for my big date with Sheila. Yeah, Sheila. Get ready for my giant testicles. There's this shestress nurse that works for Dr. Grunkus. Her name's Hanala. Hanala does most of the leech and bat work. She manages the supplies of pulverized concrete and dirty pennies. She has really bad STDs, all of them. And sometimes her genital crabs will crawl from her boovula into your open wound as surgery's ongoing. And those damn things lay eggs, huh? She does a lot of meth and crack and coke, and this helps her as a nurse. She helps the doctor dispose of old cat innards and potato rinds. Hanel is really great. I take 3 pills for pain in my solstice zone. I take 5 pills for my junk and my junk issues. I take 2 pills for my heart muscle deterioration. I go into a hyperbaric chamber and lose myself in trouble bliss. I have this Korean massage artist that pulls on my man tube and screams, "Yeehaw!" Then she kicks me in the stomach and pees on my head, huh-huh. She dumps cigarette butts on me. And I pay her $300 for this experience. I take a substance called Ningo White. It cleans you out. It cleans out your ulic barons and leaves you smelling fresh and clean. My doctor, Dr. Grunkus, orders me to drink 6 fifths of whiskey every 24 hours. If I stop, I die. If I stop, I die. That's the shit he tells me, and I thank God for Dr. Grunkus. Everyone over 50 should get an anal probe. Everyone over 50 should have a telescopic device inserted into their butthole and allow some greasy doctor to traverse their inner blinked zone. Dr. Grunkus has a mechanics helper, adjustable armature camera that he wraps in plastic wrap and then covers in sexual lubricant. He bought this cheap-ass software to interface with it on his iPhone. The code was written in Russia. As he inserts his street-style colonoscopy device into your regional zone, the entire region vista reveals itself, so darkly whimsical to see what's going on in my butthole. In my butthole, we saw great valleys, flowing with brown rivers of glory. We saw herds of gut buffalo, and shit gators, and tummy roaches. All were living in peace in this weird land. We journeyed deep into those dark corners of my digestive tract with that damnable mechanic's helper, and felt the deep shame of seeing stuck pieces of meat and metal shavings and concrete and tumors. The tumors were easy for Dr. Grunkus. He just used a fisherman's pinch tool and would just nip off the tumor, cauterizing the wound with a handheld cooking brazing torch with an extender. He used these carpenter's vices to hold open or spread my butt cheeks. And then he went way up there with that damned torch. After several hours of removing dark, diseased flesh from my butt crack, Dr. Grunkus sewed up some leakages and shafts and sealed my butthole with Gorilla Glue. He sent me home. It was a long walk back to Utah. I spent many hours contemplating my health and wondering about what problems lurked deep inside. And I was reminded in the scream of a far-off she-wolf and in the singing of an eagle in the sky. I was reminded of a great wisdom as I pondered the coyote and the groundhog and the various hookers and strippers. Your body's not a temple. Your body is not a temple. Your body's a junkyard. The moment you were born, it was a going out of business sale. Your body's not a temple. Your body's not a sanctuary. Your body started falling apart the moment you were fucking born, shithead. Your body's not a temple. Your body is a dumpster fire. Your body's not a temple. Your body is a landfill. Your body is a dead hooker buried under a house someplace in the Pine Barrens. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, I have no idea why. But if you do, there'll be a link to PayPal in the notes on my blog, planetarystatusreport.com. There'll also be a link to PayPal in the info on Spotify or Anchor. The links don't quite work on Spotify. I never got an answer back why. It's just another one of those examples of where I'm special. And I can say that because they work on Anchor. And since I use the same editor for both, bingo, something special about Spotify. I don't fucking care. Okay, podcasting, video blogging, your Bitcoin crypto project, how many homes you're flipping, your fucking keto diet, the fact that you've been sober for a year and you're going to go mountain biking down some fucking mountain in northeastern Boblimptock, I don't fucking care. That's your fucking little message reality. That's your fucking Truman Show. God bless. I'm not sure actual reality will care when it comes knocking what version of the show's running inside your fucking skull cap. But what I will tell you, baby, is it's your fucking business. If you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you've taken care of the people you love, if you've set aside a little bit of food for, boy, are you an optimist? How about, 3 to 6 months? And you made sure you set aside about that same amount of time worth of food for your pet, for your dog, for your cat. Don't be a shithead, okay? Don't watch your dog starve to death while you guys are eating beans and rice, okay? Do your best to help the animals in your life because guess what? Especially if it's a dog, they'll fight to their death to defend you. But if you've done all this, you've taken care of the people you love, you've taken care of your dog, Fido, and your cat, probably. I don't know about cats. But if you've taken care of all that, and you still have money left over, then yeah, donate to my podcast if you want to. I can use the money, I'll spend it on food, water, shelter, and then if there's any left over, I'll spend it on other crap. I'm not going to tell you I'm building some business for the future. I'm not going to tell you I'm putting it aside for a PhD program. I'm not going to tell you I plan on going on a writer's journey of France. None of those things are going to happen. If you need to believe those things are going to happen, then like I said, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, these are all great places for you, baby. You've got your own reality right there. It's fancy, it's shiny, it's filled with people who have great abs, and they'll talk all day about the food they had last night. They'll even post pictures of delicious looking food, and if they show pictures of the sky, they're the bluest fucking skies you'll never fucking see with your own eyes. Talk about gaslighting before I go. I have lived in many places in the last 10 years around this country, and not one of them have had these blue skies I see on Twitter, but I'll see people posting these fucking pictures. Now, every once in a while, we'll get a very, very blue sky as it can happen today, which is to say an off-white blue sky. Every once in a while, we'll get that kind of a sky, but these pictures they'll show are these deep blue skies, and they'll show pictures of clouds and cloud formations I've not seen probably since my 20s. And yet somehow that reality gets accepted by people. They can't look up in the sky on their own. They can't look up and see that nasty gray-brown mungus they call clouds. They'd rather look at this. So you know what? You just go to Twitter or Facebook and have a great fucking Tuesday, okay?